Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
On this first full day of the World Meeting of Families Congress, Catholic families gather in Philadelphia for the triennial event hosted by the Vatican. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Attendees have come from over 100 countries. Stan Gerton is here with his family from Ohio and says it's not easy traveling with four children, but he wants them to see that they're part of a larger community of Catholics.
Our little town of Leipzig, Ohio, only has 2,000 people in it. So for them to see that this truly is a universal church, it's people from all over the world all coming together for the same faith.
The conference agenda includes workshops on marriage and parenting. Tomorrow brings a much-anticipated talk on homosexuality. More than 20,000 attendees have registered for this year's World Meeting of Families, making it the largest event of its kind. As Philadelphia Congressman Chaka Fatah prepares for his trial on federal corruption charges, candidates are emerging to challenge him in next spring's Democratic primary. WHYY's Dave Davies offers this look at two who are trying to block him from winning re-election without attacking Fatah directly.
Brian Gordon is a civil rights lawyer and a Democratic commissioner in Lower Merion Township. He says Fatah's legal problems present an opportunity, and he wants to go to Congress to work on economic inequality and climate change. He says he's proud of his work in Lower Merion, which enacted a strong anti-discrimination ordinance.
So Lower Merion became the 18th municipality in Pennsylvania to protect the LGBT community. And the ordinance was so good that it was the model of the next 10 municipalities that adopted anti-discrimination ordinances.
Meanwhile, Dan Muroff, a former congressional staffer who's Democratic leader of Philadelphia's 9th Ward in Mount Airy and Chestnut Hill, has also formed a committee and is raising money. Like Gordon, he isn't attacking Fatah or calling for him to resign.
It's his choice whether he wants to stay or not. For me, ideologically, philosophically aligned with the electorate, I think that I also want to fight for progressive causes, always have, and I want to continue to do it in a way that I think I can be constructive.
Political strategists point out that Fatah is a leading African-American representative in Congress who's run comfortably in a black-majority district, while the two announced candidates against him are white. But Fatah's turf has changed some. In the last redistricting, Lower Merion was added and is now only about 58% black and nearly one-third white. Fatah will be running for re-election without his longtime field operations general Greg Naylor, who pleaded guilty as part of the larger corruption case. Fatah's last report shows his campaign war chest virtually empty, and he'll be running while preparing for his trial, scheduled a few days after the primary. He maintains that's not a problem.
I have lawyers who are handling it. They're the ones who will be dealing with it. I've been focused on and continue to focus on doing my job. And I'm going to continue to do it for as long as the people in my district want me to represent them. There will be no surrender on the battlefield.
Insiders are buzzing about whether State Representative Dwight Evans might jump into the race. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
Many groups are hoping that Pope Francis's visit to the United States will help bring about some kind of policy change for their cause. For immigration activists, one Norristown woman has become the face of the movement that's asking the pontiff to speak loudly in favor of reform. WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports.
Pilar Molina is speaking to a crowd outside of York County Prison, where her husband Israel Resendez was held for 5 months.
I would go to the Catholic Church every Tuesday. I cried. I poured my heart out. I asked God to hear me and release my husband.
She urges the gathering of 100 or so women not to lose their faith if their loved ones are locked up too. The women, holding banners and wearing comfortable walking shoes, are marchers. They've come from all over the country to make a 100-mile pilgrimage from York, Pennsylvania, to Washington, D.C., coinciding with the Pope's address to Congress. They hope Pope Francis, who's implored European Catholics to take in Syrian refugees, will pressure American legislators on immigration policy.
Amen.
Molina, who was born in Mexico, didn't set out to be an activist.
My mother brought me here when I was 7 years old. And I actually live in California for about a year, and then I came here in Norristown. And this is where I grew up.
In many ways, her story exemplifies the 700,000 or so dreamers living in the U.S. That's the name for people who enter the country as minors and who qualify for temporary status through an executive action called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. Even though dreamers can get a driver's license and work legally, their two-year status is tenuous.
It's just the future seems so uncertain right now. Everyone's talking so much, but they're not doing anything.
That message was driven home last year when Resendez was arrested after a regular day at the tortilla shop and grocery store they own in Norristown.
A lot of people are cooperating with ICE, unfortunately, and they're saying who's been in and out, who's been deported before, and they're just pointing the finger.
She says her husband was not arrested for breaking local laws. Instead, he was picked up for being in the U.S. after having been stopped trying to cross the border back in 2013. In the following weeks, Molina tried everything she could to get him released.
What didn't I do? We did vigils. Like I told you, I got arrested. We made phone calls. You know, we started doing a lot of things.
After 5 months, Resendez was let go on bail, but not until after Molina petitioned the court that her daughter's mental health was being jeopardized. The 10-year-old had become suicidal. The event radicalized Molina, and her lobbying put her in front of a lot of local activist groups. Those groups, such as Philadelphia-based Juntos, have added her story to a chorus of immigrant voices calling for change and opportunity. In York, women from across the U.S. gathered to carry their stories directly to lawmakers, and perhaps the Pope. Marcha Maria Orozco arrived from Chicago and is pushing her 4-year-old daughter Jocelyn in a stroller for the entire 100 miles. She knows exactly what she'd say to Pope Francis if given the chance.
Talk to Barack Obama, talk to the Congress, and let them know that we are good people. We are here to work. We are working. We are raising this country, too. This country needs immigrant people, and we need this country, so.
As for Molina, she won't be completing the walk like Orozco. She'd been selected to appear before Congress the very next day. When I checked in after her speech, she seemed tired and not overly optimistic.
I mean, I told them my story. Some of them were moved, you know. But I guess, I don't know. You can never tell with those people.
Francis will be the first sitting pope to address that very same tough audience. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benchoff.
Philadelphia residents beginning to live with the restrictions imposed for Pope Francis's visit are deciding whether to stay or go. Many offices have chosen to shut on Friday or let employees go home early. For restaurants located close to the action, the many unanswered questions have made planning tough. But as WHYY's Kimberly Haas discovered, many restaurant folk are relishing the challenge.
On most days, Sabrina's Cafe in Philadelphia's Fairmount neighborhood is a busy place. Robert Diabru is one of the owners of the spot, a few blocks from the Ben Franklin Parkway.
Typical morning would be our chefs getting in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then our servers coming in at 7. And then for the p.m. shift, that starts at 3. Our managers now, they're there sometimes from 8 in the morning till closing. They work about 55, 60 hours a week.
Serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day at this pace requires a constant flow of supplies.
We get 3 deliveries a week from our major supplier, and then we have daily deliveries of produce, and then we have our seafood delivery that comes in 3 times a week.
So what happens when you try to get deliveries in the midst of what the mayor calls the biggest event in Philadelphia's history? Diabro's advice is to stay calm.
No need to get extra stressed because it's not going to fix it. When there are events on the parkway, we are very busy. I mean, how many more people are you going to do? When you reach capacity, you reach capacity.
But this event brings road closures, security checkpoints, and predictions of huge crowds that will make even walking around a challenge. Besides their cafe in the heart of Pope Mania, Sabrina's has 2 other locations that are affected. One on Powelton Avenue near Drexel University, which is also in the Francis Festival grounds, or traffic box, and their cafe in Wynwood.
That restaurant is located next to the seminary, where the Pope is staying.
Each location has its own set of challenges, calling for creative workarounds.
Anastasia Produce, he's telling me that as of right now, he's not going to be able to get a Drexel for delivery. So we're thinking of maybe meeting him at a certain point, and then I guess we'll hand trucks.
What about restaurants in the real inner circle, along the parkway, inside the security checkpoints?
Traditionally, we get the orders in, our deliveries from 6 a.m. up to 11 a.m. Now, Secret Service are telling us when we can and cannot get them, so we have to work around it.
Liam Kelly is managing partner at Con Murphy's Irish Pub, right on the parkway.
Right now, they tell us we can get overnight deliveries from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. on Saturday morning and Sunday morning, which is Friday night and Saturday night. People are saying, it must be tough to work with. We're open 20 hours a day, so if we have to stay open an extra 2 hours to make sure there's somebody here to receive a delivery so we can stay open at 20 hours a day, it's great.
After planning around the tricky logistics, Kelly feels that other big events have prepared his staff for this one.
They get a million people in the parkway, they reckon, for an average 4th of July festival. This will be a little bit different, where we hope to get 2 or 3 days of that back to back.
So with provisions secured, aided by that last-minute edict allowing overnight deliveries in the security zone, the next challenge was, how will the staff get to work? At Sabrina's, Robert Diabro was especially concerned about his staff getting to the Wynwood location.
We're in the middle of getting a home rented for our staff and then giving them an option that they can stay there and then walk to work.
Liam Kelly says the staff at Con Murphy's is relying on their social network.
We're just going to stay. We're going to stay with friends within the zone, using every output we possibly have. So we're crashing on floors. We're all staying in groups. Everyone is just knuckling down and going camping for the weekend, basically.
These restaurants are busy, high-pressure environments. Kelly and Diabru both say they and their staff are adaptable. But the hardest part has been incomplete information that changes frequently. Robert Diabru.
No one really knows exactly what's going to happen. Secret Service is involved. They visit the restaurants. The police department's involved. We reached out to them. They're very helpful. But at the end of the day, the Secret Service makes the final call. We don't know what that call is going to be. I don't think anyone really knows.
Liam Kelly is eager to stop preparing and execute the plan.
I think at this point it's been going on for 6 months. Everybody just wants to get it on and get it over with.
Residents and visitors can rest assured, if you can get to the events this weekend, you won't go hungry. For WHYY, I'm Kimberly Haas.
Taking a look at this evening's headlines, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf wants to involve more small and diverse businesses in state government contracting. He signed an executive order today calling for a coordinated effort ensuring contracting opportunities in state agencies for small businesses, as well as those run by minorities, women, veterans, the disabled, and members of the LGBT community. New Jersey's Environmental Protection Department has issued a drought watch for the central, coastal, and northern portions of the state. Officials are urging residents to voluntarily conserve. If the weather stays warm and dry, the department says it could consider issuing a drought warning, and that could lead to officials asking water companies to come up with plans to transfer water to areas in need. 80 degrees, clear skies on Independence Mall, 78 degrees in Princeton. It's 6:19. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. This evening's forecast, clear skies, low overnight, 58 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, Thursday's high around 80. Still ahead, we'll turn to the challenges and opportunities for cyclists in Philadelphia this weekend.
People who might be intimidated by traffic have this rare opportunity to enjoy Center City streets with almost no traffic interruptions.
Newsworks Tonight continues on WHYY.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
The Barbara Brodsky Suites at Lankenau Medical Center support WHYY. complementing Lankenau Medical Center's commitment to quality patient care. The suites are designed with their patients' privacy and well-being in mind. Each suite features private living and dining areas, personalized amenities, and concierge services. Designed to be warm and inviting, the Barbara Brodsky Suites provide a novel option in private hospital accommodations. To take a virtual tour, mainlinehealth.org/Brodsky.
The Army Navy Cup supports WHYY. On Friday night, October 2nd, you can join WHYY at PPL Park for the Army Navy Cup 4, as Army West Point does battle with the midshipmen of the Navy. More at ComcastTix.com.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. In celebration of his call for environmentally responsible modes of transit, the city of Philadelphia is giving Pope Francis a white, custom-made 8-speed breezer bike. It's adorned with a chain guard shaped like an angel's wing and various papal and Philadelphia-related logos. Attendees at this weekend's events aren't likely to see that bicycle, but they will encounter potentially thousands of others. Offering tips for two-wheelers, John Boyle, Research Director of the Philadelphia Bicycle Coalition. John, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Now, cars obviously are not allowed into the so-called Francis Festival grounds, formerly the traffic box. Are bikes restricted the same way?
No, bikes can go in and outside the traffic box. There are some restrictions, though. You won't be able to pass through any location that has a magnetometer, nor are you allowed to ride your bicycle on any of the streets that are designated as emergency routes.
Now, I went to your website, and on the homepage it says, the Pope is coming. Ride your bike. So I suppose there are opportunities as well.
Yes, I think this is one of those rare opportunities where we don't have to deal with the crush of everyday traffic. So people who might be intimidated by traffic have this rare opportunity to enjoy Center City streets with almost no traffic interruptions.
But sharing it with perhaps thousands of pedestrians.
Right. So that's going to be a slight inconvenience. There are certain streets that are designated as walking routes, and at certain times of the day, they're going to be quite crowded, and you will have to walk your bicycle. The good news is that since we have such a large grid in Center City, you can just take another street.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, no bikes allowed within the security fence, but how about residents already in that perimeter? Can they get their bike in and out?
That's a good question. That was never asked to us, so we don't know. So I think that's a negotiation that hasn't been done, and I think there might be a case where that might happen.
Well, at this juncture, we're still a few days out, so hopefully there will be answers to those questions and more. Of course, for those coming from the Garden State, yourself included, the Ben Franklin Bridge is closed to cars. Can bikes make that transit?
Yes, they can. They have to walk along with pedestrians along the length of the bridge. That's a half-hour trip normally. And then once you get on the Philadelphia side, you can ride to wherever you want to.
I'm looking out across from our studios, a wonderful Indigo bike station stop. What's the status of the Indigo operation?
So most of the Indigo stations will remain open. They've committed to being open. Where the Indigo stations that are closed will be the ones within the secure perimeter areas. And to compensate for that, Indigo is actually setting up what they call corrals, where there'll be manned stations next to Indigo racks, and they'll be able to handle as many bikes as are taking in. So they're great places to drop off your bike if you're coming from, say, South Philadelphia, pick up an Indigo bike, and you need to get into the traffic zone. I highly recommend that you aim for these Indigo corrals.
Though clearly the vast majority will be riding their own bikes, and are there specific challenges for places to park them?
Right. So the city is not designating any parking areas specifically for bicycles. We have several thousand racks downtown, so there is bike parking. And there are also these, what the police like to call bicycle racks. They're really barricades, police barricades. A lot of them are going to be lined on, for example, these closed emergency routes. So there may be lots of bike parking, or it may be tight. Whatever depends on what the city decides. What we hope does not happen is that they start cutting locks when they didn't tell anybody that there's no access, that you can't lock to these things.
Well, maybe then the safest thing is to keep moving, and toward that end, though it's not an official Philadelphia Bicycle Coalition event, I understand there is an organized ride that some 2,000 participants have signed on to date.
Right. So there's what they call the Pope Ride Almost Open Streets. That's going to start at the porch at 30th Street Station at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And they'll be doing a loop, which they reviewed with the Philadelphia Police Department. Streets that they feel will be bikeable, that avoids most of the walking routes whenever they can and avoids the closed streets.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
John Boyle is Research Director of the Philadelphia Bicycle Coalition. Rowan University announced today that it plans to purchase a 65-acre fossil quarry behind a strip mall in Mantua Township, New Jersey. WHYY's Carolyn Beeler reports that the $2 million purchase is the latest part of Rowan's expansion into South Jersey.
Paleontologist Kenneth Lacovera has found tantalizing but inconclusive evidence at the fossil pit for years. Evidence that the animals there may have perished in the same die-off that killed the dinosaurs. He says that evidence raises a provocative question.
Is that fossil bed linked to that moment in time? We don't know yet. But that's the hypothesis that we are testing. If that turns out to be the case, this place will be not only amazing for its educational resources, but it will be of global significance.
Lacovera has been trying to save the quarry for 4 years, most of that time working alongside Mantua Township. The Inversand Company mined green sand for water filtration at the site until 2012. Company president Tom Carasino says they've been operating at a loss since then to preserve the fossils.
We have to pump about 100,000 gallons of water a day to keep this from filling up.
Rowan agreed to buy the fossil pit, and Lacovera moved from Drexel University to Rowan to oversee research and education at the quarry. Lacovera is most famous for his discovery of the giant plant-eating dinosaur, Dreadnoughtus. Rowan University President Ali Hushmand envisions two different facilities at the quarry.
For classrooms, for students to come in here, experiment, go to the classroom, labs and everything else. And then another kind of a place where parents can come in, kids can come and dig, and they can sit down and read, check their emails. That's the idea.
But before that, the site's annual Community Dig Day takes place Saturday. I'm Carolyn Beeler, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas, with help today from Alex Lewis. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.